Gospel of John, we have proceeded thus far to chapter 10. And John is presenting to us God, the person of God in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, in the light of all of history, secular, sacred, God, there you are. And that's what the Gospel of John surely includes. Now, in the light of that, as we have proceeded in chapter 9, you would remember the blind man who was blind from birth. God chose him out. His heart was ready and right. And he went and got his sight back. He had never seen in his life. And God did something that was very, very uncommon, to say the least, and unheard of, to say the least. And in the process, the blind man sought to share his wonderful sight and discovery, and the family, friends, they were not able to participate as they might have in saying, wow. And they took him to the Pharisees, the leaders, and they certainly, even worse, they were not happy at all with his having been given sight. And the problem was, it was from God. God did it. And people don't like what God does when God gets all the credit. So now, in the light of that, so the blind man has sight. The blind man goes through all the, as we shared in chapter 9, coming and going through all the Inquisition and everything else, trying to disprove, trying to get him to somehow change and modify his wonderful experience. And of course he didn't. And the bottom line is, when it was all done, chapter 9, verse 9 and 34, they answered, I'll read verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out, they threw him out. They did not. He was teaching them, and this blind man who knew nothing compared to these Pharisees, the teachers, he taught them what they didn't know. And they were mad, mad, mad. And in the process, they threw him out, and then they went after the Lord after that. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, so here's our Lord dealing with them, and in chapter, remember in the Pharisees, verse 40, chapter 9, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And of course they were. They didn't believe. Jesus said unto them, verse 41, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now, you see, you say, we see. That was a lie. They did not see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. In other words, they have rejected, personally rejected, the person and word and work of our Lord Jesus Christ standing in front of them. So here's the crowd. Here are the Pharisees in the at the center of it, as it were, and the Lord deals with them. And the Pharisees, as we said, are mad, mad, they're mad. They aren't going to get the fact they're going to get madder. But having said that, he then gives, as we shared together, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, he gives the parable of the shepherd and the sheep. He then explains the parable of the shepherd and the sheep, since they knew all about shepherd and sheep. But when he said, I am the door, I am the good door, verse chapter 10, verse 2, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That threw them. So therefore he went, the Lord did, and gave a wonderful explanation to help them understand who he was and what the parable had to do with, in the light of their rejection of him and the blind man's reception of him. So now, having said that, they're all there still, and he goes through all of that. Now, in the process we shared together, in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we did that, all of that. And here they are, these Pharisees reject him. And here's the believers, the people that are seeking the crowd. And he lets them know, the sheep, the people that are gonna that will believe, like the blind man believed that has sight. He believed. Now, in the light of that, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, that I'm going to give my life for the sheep. Okay? Sliding down, if I can, to verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And, wow, so if you were listening and paying attention, then you would understand that Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep, and you're sympathetic with the Lord, you're looking to the Lord, you're trying to trust and learn of him. And he tells you he's the shepherd of the sheep, and we understand we're the sheep, he's the shepherd. Well, that's all well and good, but then the shepherd says, remember, the shepherd stays with the sheep during the life of the sheep. And usually, except for sacrifice and taking wool off them, that's what they did mostly. And in the process, here's the shepherd, and the shepherd's going to leave the sheep. The shepherd's going to die. The shepherd's going to leave the sheep. The shepherd's going to give his life for the sheep. Well, the Pharisees are very mad, and the sheep are very sad. He's going to give his life. A shepherd, a shepherd, a shepherd, and the shepherd's going to leave us and die. All well and good. And here we are, sheep, out here in the pasture. Here we are, God. What about us? Mad Pharisees, sad sheep. Now, you're going to die. God, in your all-wise way of writing and doing and informing us, informing them and informing us, we now go to his wonderful answer. And we shared together last time in verse 16, of the sheep I have which are not in this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The word fold, flock, one flock, many folds, one flock. Now, in the light of that, God, mad Pharisees, they're going to get madder. Wow. And the sheep, sad, sad. No, oh, he's going to help the sheep. He's going to help the sheep so they aren't sad. Now, so now we come to verse 17. Therefore, in the light of one flock, in the light of one shepherd, in the light of laying down my life, therefore doth my Father love me. My Father is loving me. Now, they needed to understand, here's the shepherd, and the Father is loving me. Present tense. Thus, on account of, why are you doing all this, Lord? On account of, because, the motivation, the inspiration for what I'm doing. Why? I'm motivated, I'm inspired by the love of my Father. My Father loves me. I am inspired by it. I am stimulated. For what? How far? How much? Chapter 17. Because I lay down my life, and that I lay it down that I might take it again. I'll take it again. That's right. I'm going to take it again. I'm going to lay it down. I told you I'm going to lay it down. That's a horrible thought. You're going to leave us. But I'm going to take it again. Help us understand that. You're going to take it again. So therefore, Therefore, looking to God, and remember now, here's the cost, and they're considering the loss that it would be. And he's ready to make a commitment, a wonderful commitment, over that would help little bits, these little pieces that may help you. Over to chapter 17. My Father's love motivates me, inspires me to what? Lay down my life that I might take it again. Now, having said that, your relationship, God the Father loves you. That's right. Picking up, please. Chapter 17, going directly to verse 10. And all mine, the Son, are thine, Father, and thine, Father, are mine, the Son, and I am glorified in them. All are mine, and they're yours. They're ours. Chapter 17, verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. So how are we going to God? You're going to have the sheep, and the sheep are going to have a wonderful, responsible relationship to bear record of what? As the Father loves me, and I do what I do, lay down my life and take it again. So the sheep are going to have such a relationship to me. They understand who I am, what I did, how I did, why I did, and they are my sheep for my honor and my glory. And those sheep are going to point to me. When they point to me, they're going to point to the Father. When they point to me, God is loving me. God is loving them just like me. The motivation and inspiration for the sheep is God's, the Father's, love. Wow. Now hang on. Back over to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, picking up in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, is loving me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. I'm going to take it. I'm going to fulfill. I'm going to not vanish. The intention, the design, the resolve, I am ready, I am committed to what? To fulfill the responsibility of being the shepherd. I am a shepherd that is able to save to the uttermost. The sheep come and believe me. I give my life for them. And is that it? No, more. You remember chapter 10? You're right in front of you there. Chapter 10, verse 10, the end of the verse. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am taking my life again. They are going to be, understand that I, the shepherd, am going to fulfill the requirements to be able to give them the life in the light of death, to give them a wonderful saving, the saving grace of God, the rightness that God requires. I'm going to be able to care for them in the fullest, bestest, mostest way possible. I'm going to rise again. Are you going to do that? I am going to do that. So, sad sheep, be of good cheer. You must understand, I must die in order that you might live. Now, having said that little bit in the light of that, and God's will, God's love, in the light of that, God's Son. Now, the willingness, his willingness to go to the cross is no question. Now, I'm going to put verse 18 out, and then we'll try to put it together. Verse 18, he now adds, since I take it again. By the way, no man taketh it from me. No one. No. How many? No man. No one. Absolutely no one takes away, can lift off, lift up and carry me away and crucify me. They can't do that. They can't. No one takes my life. No one. Remember, in the cross, if I choose to bring 12 legions of angels, and you'd all be gone. I give my life. No one takes my life. I give my life. I give it. No one takes it. No one. Now, hang on. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power. Power, the word power is this dunamis, the dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. There's that power. And then there's this power, the right and the might, the authority to do something and the power to do it. Right and might. That's this word, authority, power, right and might. Verse 18. I have power, right, and the might to lay it down. I have full authority to lay down my life. I have full authority, power to take it again. I am in charge. I am in charge. So don't say, what did we do? What did anyone do? Nothing. Nothing. God, all by your lonesome, you did it. And Jesus Christ, in his wonderful, perfect humanity, was in full accord. Let's see how it works. Now, and this, you will notice, please, this, in verse 18, this commandment I have received of my Father. I received this commandment of my Father. Now, it's a command. Where did you get this pointed? This pointed like this. This to lay down my life, to take it again. This is from my Father. This is his command. This is his will. This is his pleasure. He loves me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received, the authority, etc., to die and to rise again. Over, if you would please, just get this a little bit. So he's doing it because it is the will of God to do it. Hang on. Over to chapter 12 of John. Chapter 12, and in verse 49, 12 and 49. For I have not, N-O-T, spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. I want you to know my Father is the boss, and I am honoring him in the fullest, mostest way. Chapter 14. Chapter 14 of John. Verse 31. But that the world, 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Therefore, arise, let us go hence to fulfill the commandment. I must give my life, lay it down, and I must take it again. Now, having said that little bit, if you would. And, by the way, while you're thinking of that, John chapter 15, why not? John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. How so? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, verse 11, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Not sad, joy. The sheep, be glad, joyous, joyous. Don't be sad. What's wrong with you? I'm going to help you. In the midst of sin, sorrow, and suffering. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And would you note, going directly to chapter 13, directly to verse 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," that's the Antichrist, "whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb." What about the Lamb? The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. So, hang on to that. Before anything, the Lamb was slain. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1. May I read verse 18? "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who," verse 20, "who verily, most assuredly was foreordained, foreknown, to know ahead of time, to know, foreordained before the foundation of the world, was made manifest in these last days for you." In other words, before anything was ever created, including angels, God the Son was in full agreement with God the Father to do the wonderful creative creation that he created. In full agreement. God the Father, God the Son agreed in perfect harmony. Agreed in submission, if you would. Somehow. Wonderfully agreed. To what? To enter in to a babe born in Bethlehem of Judea. And the Spirit of God agreed with the Father and the Son. And the Spirit of God agreed to honor the Son, to honor the Word of God, to honor the work of God, that men and women, boys and girls could enjoy life more abundantly, that they could enjoy the Shepherd and His saving grace. They all agreed in harmony. Wonderful, wonderful. God the Father, do you have authority and power? Absolutely. God the Son, do you have authority and power? Absolutely. God the Spirit, do you have authority and power? Absolutely. God the Father, authority and power. And God the Son exercises his authority and power by yielding to the will of the Father, as it were. Wow. Now hang on. To make something possible. Now, what did you and I have to do with any of that? Zero. You have nothing to do with creation. You have nothing to do with God's saving grace. It's God's doing from start to finish. Salvation belongs to and comes from the ownership of such is God. God. So when we're sitting here, Pharisees, we're all sitting down mumbling, "Oh, how come? What about this? What about that?" It has nothing to do with you guys. You guys don't even fit in. God in His wonderful grace has done it for the sheep, that the shepherd might fulfill the grand will, purpose, program of God in its fullest way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind for you and I, that we might have spiritual life in the light of physical and spiritual death, as we shared in Sunday school, God in all His fullness proceeds in His wonderful, perfect alignment and agreement. Born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the perfect humanity, perfect deity, perfect humanity in the man, person, Jesus Christ, the perfect humanity is in full accord with God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. He's in full accord. He is. Wow. The humanity. And do you know what? That humanity has authority, has been given commandment by God to lay down his life. No man taketh it from him. He lays it down all by his lonesome. And no one takes it up except him. He alone chooses to rise again. In his perfect humanity, he has authority. Now hang on. In the light of that. So born in Bethlehem of Judea, he volunteers his perfect humanity. God loves him. It's the love of God motivating, inspiring. And thus deity in perfect agreement with humanity is authorized to take action. To take action and to exercise the will of God in the way of God for the glory of God. Power, authority to do so. That's what he had. To take it again. He has all the authority to do so. And so don't anyone say, as your Pharisees and all looking there, who are you to have? How can it be? How can any of this be? It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God who loves me and gave himself for me. Who loves you and gave himself for you. It has everything to do not with your analysis and your reasoning and your academic anything. It has everything to do with the Almighty God, and which we have nothing to do with. And God did it. So when you sit there, Pharisees, when you sit there and you're mad as can be, it isn't anything based on your reason, your logic, your analysis, or your feelings. It's based on who I am. Who I am. Wow. Now hang on. In the light of that, it has to be outworked. Watch it. His humanity. Over Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Picking up, if I may, quickly. Here's the wonderful, perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, having much authority, power, the right and might to choose to go to the cross and lay down his life. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. What are you going to tell the apostles, etc.? 16:21, Matthew. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must, M-U-S-T, compulsion. The little word must is the word to bind something, a verb to bind something together. It's a must, it's a binding, it's a compulsion, it's a necessity. I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. I'm going to do all of that. You're telling me you're on your way to the cross. Absolutely. By the way, back over to John chapter 5. You're in perfect submission, yielding fully with authority. Absolutely. I'm volunteering to go along with everything the Father wants. Hang on, it'll come in a sec. Chapter 5, picking up, please, verse 19. Then Jesus, remember verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Whoa, boy, that got them. Verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Son is in perfect harmony, in agreement. He has authority. And he yields. He wants the will of God in the way of God. God loves him and gave him. God loves him. Loves him. Loves him. Chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. May I pick up, please, in John 8 and verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, Calvary's cross, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I am motivated, inspired by the love of my Father. And I do what I do. As the Son of God, as the Son of Man, I do it. We're all in agreement. We yield. We have the right and power to the commandment given by God to do and to be. And we're going to do it. Wow. We're going to do it. Over if you would back over exercise, over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And you will note, please, I remember our Lord in his perfect humanity, having full authority to lay down his life, to take it again. No question. Now, in the light of that, chapter 26, verse 39, the garden. And he went a little further, Garden of Gethsemane, and fell on his face and prayed, Father, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And I'll keep going, skip a couple of things. Verse 41, Watch and pray, he said to the disciples who were sleeping, that you enter in not into temptation, but the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, if it's your will, except I drink of it, thy will be done. I authorize, I willingly choose, I volunteer to die. I volunteer to drink the cup containing all the penalty and everything else, guilt of the sin of every human being that ever lived apart from himself. I'll take it. I volunteer. I take it. But when I take it, I have authority to take again my life. Hang on. Thus, chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. All in the love and will of God the Father. God's perfect humanity, perfect deity, wonderfully outworking itself. Chapter 10, John, verse 38. But if I do, I'll read verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, though you believe not me, believe the works that you may know. And believe what? That the Father is in me and I in him. We have a unique personal relationship. I lay down my life. I lay down my life for the sheep. It has been determined before anything was ever created. We determined it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you guys all determined it. You all did it. John chapter 17 again. John chapter 17 and verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. God, are you going to be involved? I am. Is the Son involved? Absolutely. No one takes it. He gives it. He's giving his life. He has authority to do so. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 21. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. A unique Father. I'm doing it all. Wow. A wonderful relationship to the Father. Wonderful relationship. Now, and all the way, going to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the Father is with me always. The Father. Wow. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And in the sixth hour, verse 27:45, Matthew. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You have left me in the lurch. You have deserted me, abandoned me. Father, we're always together. Always together. That's right. But when you drank of the cup and took the sin of the world, the wages of sin is death. Death is separation from God. In those hours, the Father isn't there. He's there, but he's not there. He separates, and the perfect humanity of Christ must bear in his own body all the sin of the world. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Father, you aren't here. I yield. I yielded to drink the cup. I volunteered. I myself have authority. And now, my God, in all of the authority that I have, I choose to reunite and reestablish my relationship with you. I have authority and power, the right and the might to rise again, and I choose to be with you. I choose to be yours. Wow. I have authority to take it and authority to rise again. And thus, keeping that in mind, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. If I may. The relationship that was broken when the sin penalty was paid. Chapter 23. And picking up on the cross again. Verse 46. I'll even read a little background again. 44. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in two in the midst from the top to the bottom. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. I have the authority to give myself back to you. In my humanity, I won't do it because I'm perfect. But if I was, I could refuse to do it. Wrong. I am in full accord. Father, into thy hands, I commend thy spirit. And then John 19. It is finished. The Son said, listen, I'm the good shepherd. And I want you to know, I intend to do and make possible all the awesome benefits of my saving grace. I, the good shepherd, giveth my life for the sheep. And I intend to make it possible. My life must be given. The cost must be paid. There is no loss, dear friends. No sadness. No. On the gladness. Why? I'm going to rise again. Who's going to make it? I choose to do it, he said. My Father chooses to do it. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. It is the Father that raises him from the dead. But the Father is raising him from the dead in the light of the willingness of the Son to be raised from the dead. Wow. Awesome. What do we have to do with it? Nothing. Is that right? Zero. Here you Pharisees are bumbling and theologically playing games with words and thoughts, and you don't believe. The little sheep that believe. They're way ahead. No question about it. Now, in the light of that, John chapter 10. I hope you got a little bit. It's a awesome thing. Super thing, you know. Most believers don't have the foggiest. But wow. Wow. John chapter 10. The end of verse 18. This commandment have I received of my Father. I am exercising all that God has in mind. I'm exercising the right and the might to exercise. And I want you to understand. I want you to grasp with your mind to lay hold of. To lay hold of. That I going to the cross, it is necessary to fulfill. I am in. Understand when I go to the cross? We say he died for me and they crucified him. That is true. But they couldn't have touched him. They couldn't have put one nail in his hand if he didn't let them. They couldn't have done anything. And God, are you able to be like David, as we shared last week? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh boy, it's true. It's true. And God, here's the whole world doing what it's doing. Ah, that's true. That's true. And in John chapter 10, you will know, please, in the light of it. The Pharisees are doing what they do. They deny, and the Sadducees, they don't want to believe, and the Sadducees deny resurrection. And now here's the end of the section. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and they're all upset and all, because we just went through. And he just explained, and he said, how could any of that be true? Because he's God. Because he's God. And, verse 20, and many of them said, he hath a devil, a demon. He is mad. Do you understand? He's crazy. The word mad, furious, exciting. Wow, dramatic. Wow, big. He must be crazy. It's used of John the Baptist. He's mad. Disciples, remember, are in the room and Peter's in jail and God gets them out of jail. Peter comes and knocks on the door and says, here I am, guys, I'm coming. God answered your prayer. And Rhoda goes to the door and she said, it's Peter. And she didn't open the door. She went back and told them, it's Peter. And they said, she's crazy. There's the word mad. Mad. And when the church is doing it right, 1 Corinthians 14, they're going to say you're mad that you believe in a God like that who loves you and gave himself for you, that you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you can be a wonderful one. You have a wonderful privilege of having a relationship to God whereby God chooses in his authority to save you. And you have the right to be saved. You have the right to be loved. What motivated it all? John 10:17. The love of the Father. God, why did you love it? God so loved the world that he gave. That's right. It's the love of God. You say, what kind of God is that? He's a loving God that will send you to hell if you don't believe. Wow. And he will.